Reformed Church.
The center of the gospel, if someone were to ask you really, what's the point of the gospel? Don't answer out loud, but just if you think to yourself, like, what would you say? What's the point of the gospel? Like, what is the gospel? If you were to just sum up the gospel. And some wording may vary as to how we may word it, but you have to know that the center of the gospel is Jesus, right? Specifically what he did for us at the cross, right? The cross is the center of the gospel. Your faith is not even the center of the gospel. Your faith in Jesus is not the center of the gospel. That is your reaction to the gospel. Faith is how you react to the gospel. The gospel is the preaching of what Jesus did for you at the cross. And of course, it asks you to believe it, but the point is what Jesus did for you. Even if you make your own faith the center of the gospel, you end up getting off. And you end up sort of only feeling as good that day as your faith is, right? You should feel as good as Jesus' work is. You know what I'm saying? Like, faith is just your response. If you never believed, if no one ever believed, the gospel would still exist. If no one ever believed, the gospel would still exist, which shows the center of the gospel and the message of the gospel is not how much you believe, it entails a response from us in order to receive from it. But the gospel is what Jesus did for you at the cross. And, you know, we know well at this church, but just to add this to it, that every single thing that humanity goes through, there's an answer to it in the cross. And it's not just, most Christians will agree with that statement. But when you sort of poke and prod a little further as to what they're agreeing with, you actually find out that more times than not, the situations that people go through, they don't think that Jesus actually provided a fix so that thing won't happen to you anymore. It's more of a comfort through the thing, strength through the thing. That's not the case. The Lord has provided something through the cross for every single problem that has ever hit the human race. Everything. I'm talking about bad weather. I'm talking about things in your body. I'm talking about problems in your family, relationship problems, every single problem. And of course, with more time, I could show you some scripture for that. To sum it up, Jesus said, "I've overcome the world," which is a pretty good verse about that. And Galatians 1:4 said that he's redeemed us from this present evil age. So that kind of sums it up all right there. And then when you believe it, 1 John chapter 5 says that this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, meaning when you believe the Lord, that's you received his victory over the whole world. But just to know that's the gospel is the love of God that saw your problem even before you were born, and came and to his own hurt provided a fix for your problem. To his own detriment and his own poverty provided a solution for you. And God wants this, to the days of talking about how God will give you strength through your problem and comfort you through your problem, for those days to be over and for a new day to start where we actually believe that I can't have a problem that Jesus didn't fix. And in fact, there wouldn't even be a problem existing on this earth anymore. We would be in a fully recreated earth right now, right in this moment, if it weren't for the unbelief of people and even our own growth, and I'm including myself in that. But I would far rather say that the state of the earth right now is because of people's unbelief, including my own ignorance to what Jesus did, than to say that Jesus didn't really provide a fix for many of the problems we're seeing today. We have to wait for his second coming. I love any person that would say that. I used to say that myself, so I'm not saying it's any unforgiveness, but that is just a travesty of justice against the law of God, which is to believe on what his son did. That is not true. Jesus really did provide everything. And like I said, he provided so much that if it weren't for people not knowing it, we'd already be living on a new earth with new heavens, new universe, everything be recreated. Everyone would have a glorified body if it weren't for simply the unbelief of people. And sometimes that unbelief is not just a rejection of Jesus. For instance, like I'll just use myself as an example. I have unbelief in my mind, but it's not because I'm rejecting Jesus. It's because of course, in areas of my life, perhaps my slowness to believe. But in other areas, I could be pedal to the metal learning Jesus, and it's just my ignorance of what I have left to learn, right? So it's not a rejection, but it's still ignorance. And this is why Isaiah 11:9 says very clearly that the only reason why, even after Jesus comes back, or at any point in time, really, but after Jesus comes back, when it talks about the new earth and everything, it just says it's because the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth, will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And it's just my point with all this. I'm giving a lot of information, but knowing Jesus is our response, and that's what releases all this stuff to the earth. And it just shows you, man, Jesus provided so much and we're not tapping into the half of it sometimes. And to think about this, I'll end with this one statement. If that ever offends anybody, for me to say something like that about the new recreated earth, and if it offends our theology and our doctrine that we've been ingrained in, I'll just tell you this, right? And this is going to be just a sort of on an emotional note, that if we have an almighty God that really loves us with this all-consuming love, right, that we say, God is love, in fact, not even just that he has love, he is love, and he has all power, why in the world would it surprise us that God sent his son to actually fix all our problems instead of just half of them? Why would it surprise any person that really believes in the true nature of God, the fundamentals of just who God is, and he loves me so much, he's just crazy about me. If you believe that, why in the world would a God send his son to pay a full price, leave you with half an inheritance, and tell you to wait for the other half later on until he came again? That doesn't make any sense. And I didn't even use any scripture there yet. I'm just using the same method that Jesus used, that if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how in the world would your heavenly Father not give good to those who ask him? God's not holding out. If we go through a problem, and I'm talking about myself also, if we go through problems, I have things in my life that are, I mean, these glasses I'm wearing right now are evidence of my unbelief, but I'd rather say I'm going to grow. You will see me preaching at some point without these things. I promise you that. And I'm not talking about after Jesus comes back. I promise you that. But I would much rather say, thank you so much, Father, for fixing this, than to say, and I'm just going to grow and show me whatever I need to know so I can walk in it, than to say, well, sometimes God does this, sometimes he doesn't. I'd rather tarnish my reputation than the reputation of God. But more Christians are more content to tarnish the reputation of God and throw it on him than to say, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe he loved me with a full love and provided a full inheritance, and maybe I'm missing something, and that's why I'm walking the way I'm walking, rather than because God is supposedly in his sovereignty is just controlling things and just wants things to be the way that they are. And if you do believe that God controls everything and that's why the world goes the way it goes, you can't really say anything against me anyway, because I must be speaking by the inspiration of God anyway if he controls everything. So it kind of like leaves us really without excuse to not receive this one way or another. But because isn't that a funny thing, right? When people say, oh, God just controls everything. And then they'll disagree with you. Like, well, then you're disagreeing with God, because he must be controlling me too then, right? Like, so I couldn't say this if not by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if God really controls everything. It's just a messed up doctrine. That's not the way it is. And I know that we may have been told that before, but that is not the true nature of God. That's not who he is. He really provided a fix for everything, and that shouldn't surprise anybody who knows that God loves them. If you loved your kids and you had all power to give them anything, wouldn't you give them everything? That just doesn't make any sense to say otherwise. Like I said, there's a whole lot we could talk about with that. You could listen to our Exit Earth material, the revealing material, all that stuff is online as well.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.